Now, you don't, it is important for a woman to really have a sense of God's calling on their life and expertise in their life to make a difference. That's hugely important because that will help you in the rearing of your children. So training and all of that's great, and involvement in things and whatever stage your children are. But whenever it's children fitting in, we're in trouble. Sure, we love our kids, we want to do the best by them, but we got all this, and we'll make them, you know, we'll put them over here for a time, and we'll do this because this is more important. And so what I want to encourage you to realize is that next to your relationship with God and serving Him, your family has got to be key priority in your life. It is vital to believe that. And so other things fit in. You do what you really want to do. If you really want a relationship with God, you will find time for that time with the Lord. If you really want to be a servant of the Lord, you will make the time. If you really want your children to turn out for God and to have all that God wants them to have, you will make that priority, and other things will fit in. We do what we want to do. You know, whenever you hear, well, I don't have enough time to do that, what does that tell you about that priority? It's not a high priority. Even if a person knows that it's high priority. Listen, if you've ever thought, I'm just too busy to pray, well, that means that prayer's not a key priority. Your relationship with God is way down the list. I mean, everything else has got to fit into the fact I've first of all got to meet with God, I've got to be in the Word, I've got to be in prayer, that relationship with Him has got to be solid. That everything else changes because that is number one priority. You can't be too busy if you have a husband to spend the time and do what you need for him. And a matter of meeting the needs of others. And then, of course, your family. And so I think it's very important, you know, to sometimes you just have to stop and do an evaluation of how you're thinking. What are your priorities? What is it that you want to do? And what are you making fit around what you really want to do? Now, is rearing children always easy? Is it convenient? Is it always fun? No, okay, yeah, a loud no would be fine, yeah. It's sacrificial, I tell you what, it seems like, man, they'll never grow up. But that little window of time is such a short period of time, honestly, especially the developmental years. It's just, phew. And then the concrete has firmed up in that child's life. And by the grace of God, they can change, but they're going to have a lot more difficulty changing than they would have needed to have if mom had made her family the right priority. So I mentioned this, you're here today because you do have the right priorities. But the mood of the world is enticing. It really is. And I mentioned this the other day, and that 75% of women have full-time jobs. And that's not all bad. I'm not saying that that's bad, but that's a change in culture from 25% in the 1950s. And so that's just very interesting. And some of that is good, like I said. For many ladies, their profession is first and their children are second. And that's a dangerous, dangerous position to be in. So if you have children, be a fierce mom. I like that terminology. A mom who really cares. Commit yourself to loving, leading, teaching, training, even disciplining. I would say, commit yourself to loving, disciplining, leading, teaching, and training. But anyway, it's all part of it. And I'm telling you, children rise up and call their mother blessed when they got a fierce mom. And I had a fierce mom. I mean, she was absolutely committed to seeing her kids go on for God, and we knew it. I mean, we were in trouble. I mean, she wasn't going to back down. That was her life. And my mother was very capable. You know, she was a top graduate out of Wheaton College and very proficient in what she could do. But boy, oh boy, she was focused on seeing her family, her husband and her family, through whatever it took. And absolutely they do. Mm-hmm. Right. No, it doesn't take long. And what happens is a mother, for whatever reason, whether it's job or whatever, doesn't really take the time to communicate, discipline, set, like we just talked to mentoring moms about scheduling and order in a home and enforcing that, especially during the elementary years and all of those things. A child's very frustrated, very much then becomes self-centered, trying to find meaning, trying to find relationships, and a child's really going to wander in life if you don't do that. So God just made it that way. I mean, this is just basic biblical. I mean, the secular world is trying to destroy marriage, is trying to destroy the family, trying to de-emphasize the importance of the family, and it's easy for us to get caught up in that. Now, I could say a lot. This isn't just for family as far as child rearing. You've got more family than just those in your home. Those of you that have adult children, you're not done yet. You know, there's a limited amount what you can do, but pray, make it a priority. Do what you can to interact, to be an influence for God. If they're walking with God, just enhance that, help them go forward. If they're not walking with God, or maybe not saved because you got saved later, there's a powerful God in heaven that will work in their lives every time you pray. And you need to be just absolutely committed to that and believing God and seeing that through. Don't allow yourself to get discouraged. And then, you know, you have aunts and uncles and other people, family structures. Some are strong, some are not today. And it would be, I think, pleasing to the Lord for you to be the glue that holds the extended family together. You know, it's very rare to get the whole family together. And I would suggest, by the way, having a regular reunion that you plan and make happen. If nothing else, just for the influence of the Lord that you can bring to that. But it is there's so much ministry that you can have in that. And families that really maintain that closeness have to work at it to maintain that closeness. And when the parents maybe are gone, then one of the children have to work hard at keeping the extended family together. So I think that is important. Keep in touch. We get so busy, so focused as we should on our own family, but I tell you the best way, let me just say this. For me to know so often what to do for my own folks here in this church and for extended family is to regularly be praying for them. And the Spirit of God can touch your heart about what you're going to do. So often I'll pray and I realize I haven't contacted that person or I haven't talked to that relative. I need to make some contact here. And the Holy Spirit can put that on your heart. And so a regular, thorough list. I pray for family and extended family every day. I mean, I just make that a rock solid aspect of what I pray about. And the Lord so often speaks about what to do and helps you get a plan to do that. So it is important to, in the midst of all that we do, to not neglect family. You go to most other cultures, or you go back to the Bible times, I mean, family was very solidly close. And that's a great help to children and all. Now, what happens is, and for some of you, you were saved later. Your entire extended family is not saved. Their influencers are not good. You have a drinking party when you have a time to get together. So it makes it to where you really don't want to do that. But God will give you creative ideas. Having a get-together at your house, they know that they're not going to do that, okay? And by the way, it's nice to get to know relatives when they're not drunk. You know, it's a really helpful thing. And so you may have to be the one that initiates that. And your children do need to still have a sense, I'm from this family, and get a burden for them and so forth. So I could talk on and on about that, but family does need to be a priority. And the number eight is ministry. And when women go through the different phases of their life, the question is, what do I do for ministry? How involved should I be? And these are very legitimate questions. If your husband does love the Lord and is endeavoring to lead that way, then obviously he can be a great help. Sometimes, again, if you were saved later, your husband may not be saved or he's not strongly leading, then you have to really seek the Lord yourself, sometimes get good counsel on what to do. There are times in your life when you are very pressed, when you have little ones, you know, that are dominating your time. There are other times in your life that you're going through a lot of just pressures. We have, in this stage in our life, we do not have the empty nest syndrome. We have my dear mother-in-law, which is a very major focus, especially with what she's been through. And we have a semi-special needs, even though he's far above that, but does take time. And so that's a stage of life. And so I've had to guide my wife on what she can do and can't do and how do we solve these problems. So you never get out of that. You don't know what the next stage is going to be. You know, another one of our ladies just took in their grandmother now and has that care. Well, that's just going to change the equation for her life greatly. And these are just issues that you have to face. But let me say this. No matter how taxing whatever situation you are in is, and that's a real ministry, and if God has allowed you to have it, God still wants you to have the blessing of meeting others' needs. And so this is where you've got to really ask the Lord for guidance. You cannot be a good mother if you're not meeting with God and being used of God in ministry. Your children will get your heart. My mother witnessed to anybody and everybody she saw, embarrassed me to tears a lot of times. No one passed without a track. And she was discipling ladies and she was a pastor's wife. She was busy with us five kids. And at times she had health issues, but there was no doubt in my mind that my mother loved souls and she loved people. And that was what life was about. That's what she talked about. That's what she dreamed about. And all five of her kids went in the ministry. You know, I mean, it's there's no accident when that kind of thing happens. And I'm so thankful that I married a wife who's the same way. She is much better than I am at meeting people. And she'll open the conversation. Then I'll take over, you know. It's wonderful. And my kids never doubted what was most important. Like, for instance, she's been a VBS bus captain for years. And she is this time. And we have these different pressures on us, but that's something I've allowed her to do because it's a great blessing. And we've seen folks come and say, you know. And for my children, it was fun last night. I had Anna Grace's here and took her three girls. We were with my wife and I went out recruiting with them. They were a great help. Kids are the best recruiters. And was it Brianna opened up both those? Or was it both of the situations that she had last night? Tremendous recruiting, open doors right here in the falls. And those little kids, they never forget those times of just being out doing ministry. So you got to be wise. You cannot take on, when you got a bunch of little ones, heavy duty, time intensive pressures at that point. But you've got to still be trying to reach souls. There's a lot of ways to do that. You ought to try to be out at a regular time, if possible, and you ought to be trying to have a ministry with other believers as God leads. So it's a tricky thing because you can't ever do it out of a sense of duty, and you've got to be wise. But if you aren't ministering in one way or the other to people, you're going to dry up spiritually. You got to have the inflow and you got to have the outflow. And so for children, a mom that loves souls has to be very wise on the use of her time, but is able to get the Lord's leadership and her husband's leadership. That's part of their training. And yet that mother, if she's just dominated by a need to be in ministry, she'll wreck her kids, and then they'll be bitter at the church. About... No, I don't know them. I haven't heard. I know about Mornings for Moms, but I don't know about. there's, I'm sure, good emphases, and there can be different philosophies even. You have to do what God leads you to do, is what I'm trying to say. I'm obviously trying to be very careful here, but I do not want, if a woman does not see God do miracles in her life as He has led her, she's going to dry up, get discouraged, Satan can attack, and then of course it won't help the children or whoever your family is at that point. And yet, and I'll tell you, here's the key, and I alluded to it just a moment ago, here's the key. If you do ministry because you're meeting an insecure need and you're trying to prove something, you're in trouble. You know, and sometimes women want to be seen, and they don't mean to, but it's just part of, you know, they're trying to fit in and they're trying to do what needs to be done. And whenever you take on something simply because of human pressure, that's where you're going to run into trouble. But as you have opportunities, you got to pray about it. And I'm telling you, if God gives you light, you'll have all the power you need to do it. And you'll do even better with your kids. So it has to be of God. Does that make sense? And that's where, if a husband's walking with God, really ask him to pray about something. It's a great help. If you're not in that kind of situation, maybe widowed, or your husband is not maybe at this point fully where he ought to be, and you're praying about that, well, then you've got to be very careful, get good counsel, and make right decisions. But never should there be a time in which you're not involved in people's lives. So let me just leave it there. There ought to always be some channel to fulfill the Great Commission. And then everything comes together. I can tell you this. If you get an opportunity to witness to somebody and God just uses you, especially if maybe they come to know the Lord, you're going to be, it's so freeing. You know, you're so excited as a mother. You know, when you see God work, a lot of the pressures just aren't the pressures as much. But if you're living with pressure inside and guilt and you're dried up and you're self-focused, everything becomes drudgery. So it's that balance. It has to be from the Lord. That's why I emphasized so much a while back that there has to be that time with God, because God will lead you. He will guide you. He will direct you, and He will work. Now, one thing she brings up here that I think is... very important, and is every one of you that know the Lord as Savior have a spiritual gift, because you have the Spirit in your life. And there is a certain way the Holy Spirit is going to use you miraculously within the context of the local church. That's where there will be a deep sense of meaning and purpose for you, and that's where your kids or your family will see God working. Spiritual gifts, ladies, it's not personality, it's not talents, abilities that you have. You may be very organized, but that may not be your spiritual gift. You may be very people conscious, but that may not be your spiritual gift. In fact, spiritual gifts are almost always in the area of your weakness, so that God gets the glory for what is done. You've heard me talk about the fact that my father and myself would have been the most unlikely candidates to be preachers, because of our personalities, and particularly I had some severe stuttering problems when I was a child, and the thought of speaking to anybody was really scary, and the worst consonant I had was W, and my name was Wayne, you know, so that was really a, what's your name, son? Oh, brother. So, Junior, yes, yeah. Well, anyway, I didn't say Bud. No, I didn't do that. But anyway, but what I'm saying is I know without a shadow of a doubt that the pastoral gift is a gift. And it's not because of ability. It's purely what God has done. You may be very organized and detailed and analytical, and God may give you the gift of mercy. And you say, that's a miracle. That's the joy of it. God may give you the gift of teaching. He may give you the gift of giving. He may give you many other types of gifts as you look at that. And so you do want to be sensitive. You say, well, how do I know my spiritual gift? Just serve the Lord. Walk with Him, and you'll start noting that God is working. But I must say, it does. It's all about the body of Christ. And so if you're not involved in the body of Christ, and your family's not involved like they should be, it's going to be very hard for you to know who you are. And what really helps is that spiritual leadership begins to note the giftings. I mean, we've got ladies here that it's just miraculous how God uses them. It's just it's an amazing thing. And I could give you example after example of ladies being used of the Lord here. So that's what you want. You've got to put your family first. You have got to take care of things. You never want to have a human need be met by serving. You want to do what God has called you to do, and when He's called you to do it, He'll give you the power to do it. And so that balance has to come by walking with the Lord. All right. And she ends up talking about being a woman of influence. And so when you practice your priorities and you're developing with the Lord, and you are setting the right kind of goals in your life, then your life begins to have an impact and you don't even realize it. You know, any lady you know that really walks with God and is growing in the Lord, any lady like that has influence on you, right? They may not be a leader. They may not be in a position even directly in your life. But there's something about being around them when, whoa, I mean, the Lord is here. I love to be around people who have the glow of the Lord about them. I mean, it's just glorious. And that's people you want to relate to, by the way, but that's the kind of person you want to be. And so your life, you don't want to just survive in your life. What she's trying to say, have priorities and live them out by the grace of God. And so those eight priorities are very, very important. So we talked about goal setting before and really getting a hold of how God wants to use your life. So the priorities that were in this second section are your vocational life, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Your financial life, be faithful. The matter of being a faithful steward, your family life, and your ministry. And you want to come to a place, as Titus 2 talks about, to be a spiritually elder woman. Doesn't mean you're elderly, but to be able to teach younger women and to have an impact for Christ. One of the crying needs today is godliness with older people who are actively involved in people's lives. The crowning time in your life ought to be in the mature years of your life. That ought to be your goal. That ought to be your heartbeat. And you know, today, the gray head doesn't mean that a person in our culture is a good person. It used to be, pretty much, you could count on there at least being some real set of values because of their having experience and having learned. But today, some of the highest vices, percentage of that age bracket is the older age bracket. And it's really tragic how we've lost that. But it ought not be in the church. It ought to be, here's where you can see women that have really grown and can be a help to one another. So, interesting section there. Both of those chapters are good ones to go over and just ask yourself, am I really living for my priorities, and then am I fitting everything else in? Because there are a lot of things that will take you away from your priorities. Alrighty.